On this first Sunday morning of the new year, Psalm 98 calls us to sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. So shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song, which I invite you to be part of this morning. Please be seated. Here at Scots, we believe in celebrating all of the 12 days of Christmas, savouring them till the very end, and we're going to join in singing about Bethlehem, a noble city. Let's stand. Please be seated. Again, welcome friends and a very happy new year. It's great to have you with us as we launch into 2025. Special welcome to family and friends. I've already met a few who are visiting with relatives. It's great to have you with us. And a special welcome to if you are new to Melbourne or you're looking for a new church home. We would love to meet you and let you know more about Scots, if that's you. The very best way to get in touch is to use our introduction card to say hi. You can fill it in and leave it at the foyer desk, or scan the QR code with your phone and drop us your contact details online. Look, Adam's waving them around so you can see. Look at that. Please also join us for a cuppa after the service on the mezzanine level in the Westpac building behind me. Now, if you drive to church, you might be aware that Wilson's Parking have made some changes to the free parking arrangements next door. And I gather some people have been having a few problems with the exit receipt that you need to scan as you leave. Now, first of all, if you haven't already, see Michael at the door to get an exit receipt. You'll need to scan it on your way out. Then, on your way out, you need to scan the receipt first. And this is important. Wait for the light on the scanner to turn green. And you'll get a little flashing green light to say it's good for the next step, which is to show your credit or debit card, to wave it under the scanner. Or if you've got a magnetic strip card, you need to slide it through the magnetic strip. If the light hasn't gone green, it won't register a zero payment. So you've got to do that or you'll get billed afterwards. Now, I've heard over the last few weeks a few people have been charged, which is a little bit unfortunate, and that's because you didn't wait for the green light. Now, if you have been billed for parking, please contact Wendy at the office and we will organise a refund. We don't want anyone to be paying for the free parking on Sundays. We will get it sorted. Now, I should say welcome too if you're joining us on live streaming this morning. One of the 150 or so regular viewers online on YouTube, we are very glad to have you with us, and I'm looking at the right camera, I think, to say hello to you. We would love you to drop us an email sometime and say hi. Well, let's sing again, still in the Christmas spirit, Child in the Manger. Please be seated. Some of us, of course, remember when Cat Stevens made that tune very, very popular, but you would have to be a certain age to remember that. The tune is even older. Let's join in prayer. Lord God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You know our comings and our goings. You know our frailties and our failings. You have made us as fragile and finite beings, human. And yet you love us. And in your incarnation, you took on and perfected that same fragile flesh yourself to redeem us. And so, Almighty God, we acknowledge and confess, as this new year begins, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We haven't loved you with all our hearts and souls and minds and strength. We haven't loved our neighbours as ourselves. And yet, Father, we long to, because by your Spirit, you are at work in our hearts to desire the good. Deepen within us our sorrow for the wrong we do and for the good we so often leave undone. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. Give light to our minds, strength to our wills, and rest to our souls. Speak to us by your word, and let your word abide with us until it has wrought in us your holy will. We ask these things in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray together in these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, quartet. If you're wondering, the full choir will be back with us on February 2nd. In the meantime, the volume will perhaps be a little lower, but the quality remains the same. Very wonderful. During the next hymn, your free will offerings will be received. If you are visiting with us today, please don't feel any obligation to contribute. The plate comes around for our regular members. Let's join in our next hymn.
Please be seated. Let us rejoice in the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, we worship and honor you through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, our source of joy, hope, and peace. Lord God, we thank you for this wonderful day, the first Sunday of the new year, 2025. We give thanks for your unwavering faithfulness in the past year and always. And as we enter the new year, that you would grant us greater trust in you. And we are thankful for your steadfast love, peace, and forgiveness of our sins. And we pray that this new year becomes a time of restoring broken relationships, overcoming pride, and extending forgiveness. While the world may promote bitterness, Lord God, you inspire freedom. Help us truly to seek you daily and shine brightly in this fractured world, we pray. El Shaddai, the Almighty, all-sufficient God, protect us from the snares and traps of temptation, and forgive our sins and help us to forgive one another, and keep us steadfast in our commitment to you and the ministry you entrusted us, regardless of the challenges we may encounter. Bless the vision and mission of Scots Church and Scots City, along with our constituents and their ministers, St. Stephen Flemington and the International Christian Church, both now and in the future. And we ask for your guidance, spiritual wisdom, clarity, protection, and peace to surround our church leaders, including our senior minister, Reverend Phil Campbell, and his wife, Louise. And we pray for our ministry team members, Justin Ang and his wife, Rachel, Arthur Kiever and his wife, M.M. And may the gospel of Jesus Christ be effectively and powerfully preached, inspiring many who hear and embrace the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grant strength, guidance, and wisdom to the elders and all who are committed to serving you in this community, including the administration staff, the Scots Music Ministry, and every dedicated individual behind the scenes. And may their efforts bring glory, honor, and praise to you, O God Almighty. And let your church be filled with those who yearn for and have faith in Jesus. We also ask for blessings upon our visitors today and those also watching via online live streaming and all present here. Fill us with your presence, joy, and peace. And we pray for healing for those in our church community and in their beloved family facing health challenges. We pray and remember for Margaret Young, currently in the hospital. And we pray also for Murfit Hannah, who is set to undergo a medical test and treatment. May she be granted strength, peace, and positive outcomes. We express our gratitude for the gift of resilience and complete recovery for those battling illness. Loving God, we seek your strength and comfort for those who are mourning, particularly Ruth Bath, who recently lost her cherished sister, Margaret. May she find hope, faith, and joy in Jesus, the resurrection and the life, the living hope. Lord of ages, we pray for world peace and that the love, power, and peace of Jesus Christ bring many blessings to the world, its people, and its leaders, including to our own beloved country, Australia. Lord, in your mercy, may sorrow turn into dancing, tears into waves of laughter, fear into faith, hatred into love, and despair into hope and peace in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, thank you for your blessings on our offerings and tithes today. Bless those who give wholeheartedly and those who manage church finances for your glory. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
This morning's first Bible reading is from Matthew 18, verses 1 to 6. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Amen. This morning's second Bible reading is from Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen, and thanks be to God."
Thank you, Jacob. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks as we come into 2025, that we are reminded of your great love. We pray that as we look at your word this morning, remind us that you are faithful to us, that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, growing up, I wasn't exactly a big reader, but one of my favorite books growing up was Roald Dahl's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You know the story of how Willy Wonka owns a chocolate factory and he gives out 5 golden tickets in his chocolates to tour his chocolate factory. Charlie, who comes from a poor family, manages to get the last ticket. And so he goes with his grandpa on the tour. And on the tour, it's frantic. Willy Wonka says this, "Too much time and so little to do." Scratch that. It's the other way around. Too much to do and so little time. That's so true. When you ask someone how they're doing, they'll say, "I'm busy. I've got lots to do. I'm tired. I'm exhausted." And I've never met anyone who has said, "Great, doing nothing." You know, I wish they would say, too much time and so little to do. You know, when we look at our society as time goes by, we're getting faster and faster. And when I talk to people and I ask them how they're going, it's, "I just can't keep up." It's not, "I'm doing nothing" or "I'm going slow." Today we're going to look at the Bible, at what it says about being too busy, and what it says about our human limits. Maybe you're thinking, "Oh, Justin, what's the problem with being too busy? I mean, it means I get more stuff done, right?" Well, if you look at our culture around us, our culture does not embrace slow. We are addicted to hurry. I'll give a few examples. And it doesn't mean when you refer to someone as slow. It's not positive at all, is it? When you're at the post office or the grocery store, which line do you pick? Obviously the longest one, right? No, obviously the fastest one with the fewer people. When you're waiting in a line and you're bored and you can't choose the faster lane, what do you do? Or what do you see people do? They pull out their phones. They're on Facebook, they're on Instagram, they're on TikTok. Maybe they're watching Netflix. And do you know what the most disobeyed law in Victoria is? It's speeding by a huge amount. We are speeding more and more because we don't like how people die, but we are addicted to speeding because there's too much to do and so little time. Everything is faster, and this is a problem. One author, Oliver Berkman, writes in his Sunday Times best-selling book, 4,000 Weeks, which is the time that if you live to 80 is the number of weeks you have in your life. He says this, "As the world gets faster and faster, we come to believe that our happiness or our financial survival depends on our being able to work and move and make things happen at superhuman speed. We grow anxious about not keeping up. So to quell the anxiety, to try to achieve the feeling that our lives are under control, we move faster. But this only generates an addictive spiral. We push ourselves harder to get rid of anxiety, but the result is actually more anxiety because the faster we go, the clearer it becomes that we'll never succeed in getting ourselves or the rest of the world to move as fast as we feel is necessary." You know, it's like we're on this treadmill that's getting faster and faster. And it's causing us so much anxiety and it's causing us to lose so much peace. But it's not just Oliver Berkman, but there are other authors who have noticed the dangers of being too busy. Blaise Pascal, French mathematician who lived in the 17th century, said this, "All men's miseries derive from not being able to sit in a quiet room alone." Meaning that we live in noise, in busyness, in hurry, we cover up our pain, our loneliness with frenetic activity. Corrie ten Boom, the Dutch Christian who lived during Nazi Germany times, and along with her family helped Jewish people escape the Nazis, said this, "If the devil can't make you sin, then he'll make you busy." Meaning that busyness and noise are ways to distract ourselves. I read a fact recently that our attention span has dropped. Can you guess what it's dropped to? 8 seconds. And can you guess what has a greater attention span? A goldfish, 9 seconds. You know, there's been studies that show that we struggle reading long-form articles now. We're too busy to read long-form articles. Let me give you two more examples. Dallas Willard, American philosopher, says this: hurry is the greatest enemy of spiritual life in our day. And Jesus himself says that we can be really busy, just like Martha. Busy running around the house doing all these things for the Lord, but being in a hurry means that we forget the one thing, the one good portion that Mary had, our relationship with God. In Luke 10, the Lord says to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." Now, we're so distracted when we are busy. In fact, our relationship with God can suffer. Our relationship with other people will suffer. And I want to suggest to you that being so busy does not mix with loving others with love. You see, God is never in a hurry, and God is love. Is love ever in a hurry? Absolutely not. Can you imagine maybe you're pouring your heart out to a loved one and they're looking at their watch going, "I've got places to be." Or worse yet, if they pulled out their phone and they're checking the cricket score or their football score. Not that I've ever done that. Right, Rachel? You know, love is slow. Love takes time. So let's talk about the solution to our busy society. And I'll tell you what you don't need. You don't need more time. You don't need more money. Because even if you had more time or money, you could never do everything that you ever wanted to do. What's the solution to our struggles to being busy? I'll tell you. The Bible talks about a solution. It talks about accepting our finiteness as human beings. The Bible talks about accepting our limits. And what does that mean? As human beings, we have limits, don't we? Things that we can't do. Maybe you know the rule of three. In survival, if you're in danger, you're asking yourself, how long can I survive without food? How long can I survive without water, drinkable water? And how long can I survive without breathable air? It's the rule of three, isn't it? Three, three, three. It's about 3 weeks without food, 3 days without drinkable water, and 3 minutes without air. You know, 3 weeks without food, 3 days without drinkable water, 3 minutes without air, and we're not going to be able to survive. That's just what it means to be human. We have bodily limits, but it's more than that, is it? It means that we are dependent on other people. We are reliant on other people. Maybe you're thinking, "Justin, I am a self-made person. I'm an independent man. I'm an independent woman." That's a lie. Now, this might sound a little creepy, but the next time that you're in the shower, look down at your belly button. And just think about it. Because the belly button is a sign that you were born. It's a sign that doctors and nurses helped you to be born. It's a sign that your parents had to look after you. As two Duke professors have written, nothing is quite as ontologically revealing as our belly button. By noting that we are creatures, creations of mothers and fathers, the Ten Commandments tells us that we have life as a gift. We are begotten, not manufactured. Someone even changed our diapers, our first hint of what grace must be like. No wonder some of us despise our parents, for they are a visible, ever-present reminder that we are created and that the significance of our lives is not exclusively self-derived. Now, our belly buttons remind us that we are not independent, that we have limits. In fact, Jesus says that we need to learn to accept our limits. Look at the passage from Matthew's gospel that was read out. Have a look with me at what Jesus says. Verse 1, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Now, Jesus says that in order for us to enter the kingdom of God, we need to learn to become like little children. And what does Jesus mean by that? He's not talking about childishness or childish innocence here. We're talking about how children are needy. Have a look at the passage again. How does Jesus refer to them? Verse 5. "Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." Do you notice how else he refers to children? Little ones. Little ones. In verse 6, little ones. He calls them little ones. Jesus is referring to the fact that children are insignificant, that they're vulnerable, that they have no standing in society. I think about what children are like. They're needy, they're dependent, they're vulnerable. And the babies need their diapers changed. Have you ever seen a baby change their own diaper? No, they need frequent feeding. They need constant companionship. And when they get older, they still need their parents. I still need my parents. No, I don't need my parents. No, I do. I still love them. Jesus says that we are to be like children, like little ones, because here's the thing. Children know they are needy. Children know they are dependent. Children know they are vulnerable, that they need help. It's why they ask for help from their parents. It's why they ask for help from God. And Jesus honors the little ones. Jesus shows us the kingdom is filled with people who are little, who acknowledge their insignificance, who acknowledge their vulnerability, who acknowledge their need. Because the truth is, when we grow up, we forget that we are needy. We forget that we need God. We forget that we need other people. True followers of Jesus, though, are those who recognize their need for God. True followers of Jesus recognize their need for other people in their lives. And that's true for every single one of us. When Jesus talks about humbling ourselves like little children, we need to discover how needy we are, how dependent we are. Maybe you're thinking that this is a terrible thing, being needy, being dependent. But actually, it's a gift from God. It's a gift that we need to learn to accept. And we were made to need God. We were made so that we can't do everything in the world. We can't be everything. Because it's impossible. You know, even our society is beginning to realize this. Oliver Berkman, whom I quoted earlier, writes this: "We rarely stop to consider things so rationally, though, because that would mean confronting the painful truth of our limitations. Maybe you can't keep your current job while also seeing enough of your children. Maybe making sufficient time in the week for your creative calling means you'll never have an especially tidy home, or get quite as much exercise as you should, and so on." You know, our limits means that we can't do everything in the world. You know, working faster and faster might help for a little while, but then we'll hit a brick wall. And that's because our limits remind us that we are not God. That we are not God. And we're not supposed to be God. Our limits remind us that we can't do everything. And we need to recognize that God, in his mercy, does not expect us to be him. He doesn't expect us to do everything because he knows our limits. He has made us with limits. You're only human, and that's actually a good thing. It's God's gift, and we need to learn to be able to accept this gift. Kelly Capick, a Christian author, says this: we need to stop asking or feeling that we should ask for God's forgiveness when we can't do everything. And we need to ask for forgiveness for ever imagining that we could ever could. He's right. We were never supposed to do everything. And we get ourselves into trouble because we think that we're God. Now, I want to ask you this question. What would it look like to be gracious with yourself about your human limits? Just in the same way as God is gracious and kind and loving towards you. I love the beginning of each year because it's an opportunity to reflect on the year that's gone by and to reflect and on the things that you might want to do for the new year. New Year's resolution, so to speak. And I wanted to ask you, what resolution can you make this year to learn to accept your limitations as a human being? To acknowledge that you're only human? Maybe it might mean saying no to some things. You know, recognizing that you can't do it all. You know, maybe it's not putting so much pressure on yourself to be the best, to be the most intelligent, to be the most strong, but to admit that it's okay that you're not as strong or as intelligent as you think you are. Because God has created you the way that He's created you. Maybe this year, as part of accepting your limits, you'll learn to slow down and recognize that you can rest. Maybe you'll learn to sleep because Jesus Himself slept. Because He knew that His Father was in control. And in the same way, we can learn to sleep because, you know, as the writer of Lamentations says, God's mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Maybe this year, as part of accepting your limits, you'll recognize the need to pray more because you realize that you can't do life on your own without God. Because Jesus Himself prayed. Even in the midst of His schedule of preaching and healing and teaching, He would go away by Himself into the wilderness to pray. Maybe this year you resolve to give thanks to God because you recognize that you are dependent on God for everything good in your life. Just as Paul encourages us to rejoice in the Lord always, again, I will say rejoice. Because you remember that all good gifts come from your Father who's in heaven. Or maybe you resolve to pour out your heart to God in your suffering. Because you recognize that you are not in control, but God is. That you are dependent on Him in your suffering. And just as Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, not my will, but yours be done. Now, as we start a new year, may we learn and accept our human limits, our dependence on God, and our dependence on other people, just as God intended it. Let's pray. Father, we're reminded that we are created, not manufactured. We are made in your image, but we are your creatures. We have limits, and we sometimes forget that. Please give us the strength to accept our human limits, that we need you, Lord, in our lives, that we need others, that we need food, that we need water, that we need sleep and rest. And so, Lord, please help us to do that. Help us to trust and depend on you as our God. And help us, Lord, to make resolutions, perhaps, that acknowledge our limits. Maybe it's to pray to acknowledge our dependence on you. Maybe it's to rely on other people. But help us, Lord, in our limits. And help us to acknowledge that they are a good gift from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's respond by singing our last hymn, "Unto Us a Boy is Born." Thanks for joining us here this morning. A reminder that if you have parked in Wilson's parking, please grab your validation receipt at the front desk, scan, and make sure it turns green before you tap. And please join us for refreshments over at the mezzanine floor of the Westpac building. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.